When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, and welcome to The Shorty. I'm Josh, and there's Chuck, and there's Jerry, so let's get started.
You must be at least this tall to enjoy this podcast. Remember the anxiety as a kid at amusement parks?
Yes.
Around that?
I do.
You just wanted to be a little taller.
Now you look at it and you're like, wow, what is that? Like, are there, you know, there's kids that aren't that tall. It just seems so short now. Whereas before it was like, oh man, I hope I measure up. You'd like grow your hair out.
Yeah.
To like make that extra like half inch or something like that.
Get your blowout comb, get your throw up high.
That's exactly right.
Although remember my story is that I was scared of roller coasters until my father finally said, I'm not taking you back here and paying this money until you get on a roller coaster.
And then you weren't scared?
Well, no, I just went on because I was like, I don't want to not come back. And then I loved it, of course. But he rolled the dice there.
Did you? My dad took me on Space Mountain when I was like 5 or something like that. And I hate roller coasters as a result.
Really? Still?
Yeah. I'm not big on it. Basically, the same thing happened to Yumi. I don't remember how old she was, but it was Space Mountain, her dad. And we went back to Space Mountain like years ago to conquer it together, conquer our fears. And we did. We did it.
You got hammered in Tomorrowland and then
right.
Got aboard.
Yeah.
But that has nothing to do with safety pins.
No, it doesn't. No, safety pins actually have a totally different, equally engrossing story. There was a guy who's actually known as the inventor of the safety pin, chiefly because he invented the safety pin. His name is Walter Hunt. And there's a lot of different interpretations of Walter Hunt. I think this House to Forks article kind of misses the mark a little bit.
Oh, yeah? What's your take?
So he was one of America's great 19th century inventors, number one.
Okay.
Number two, he invented the safety pin, which is that just if he had just invented the safety pin, that would be something. But he invented the safety pin back in 1849. And if you look at his safety pin invention and the safety pin that you would go buy today, it's virtually the same thing. Like the guy right out of the gate invented a perfect version of his invention.
Yeah. And this is one of those that's so brilliant in its simplicity is I imagine he was just tinkering around with some wire, coiled it around itself and said, hey, that acts as its own spring.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't need to be two pieces, which is sort of the genius of a safety pin. And then the little clasp, the little safety clasp, that's why it's called a safety pin, keeps little fingers and big fingers, I guess.
And toes
from getting pricked and stuck. And it was just a genius little idea.
Yeah, it was. So the legend goes that he was fiddling around with that wire and inadvertently invented the safety pin while he was just kind of keeping his hands busy trying to figure out how to pay off a $15 debt. I could not find what the debt was for, but it was to a pal.
Okay.
So, okay, we'll go with that. But then when he figured out this safety pin was a pretty good idea, he went and patented it. But then he sold the patent to either that friend or somebody else to pay off the $15 debt. But he sold it for like $400.
Yeah, which did you do the calculation there?
No.
What is that today?
I didn't.
Do you want me to just talk for a minute while you type?
I do. Can you do a little tap dance?
Yeah, but the point is that $400 back then, and we'll get the number in a sec, was a great deal of money, but obviously nothing compared to the riches that would have befallen Walter Hunt had he held on to that patent. It would be known as the Hunt Pen today, probably, and his great-great-grandkids would be billionaires still, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. If he earned royalties from it and they had kept up the patent, heck yes. Or the trademark or something. I'm not sure how they would do it, but I do have a number, Chuck.
All right. What is it? Drum roll.
It's about $12,000.
Yeah.
Which...
Not bad.
it isn't bad. But so here's the thing. So the guy sold off his patented idea. Sometimes he's reported as not even having patented it, just sold the idea.
Yeah.
Which is wrong. But so he sold the patent for just 12 grand. He's often very much characterized as like short-sighted,
maybe just
like an absent-minded inventor type or something like that.
Sure.
Okay. Maybe you can say that with the safety pin, but he also invented something pretty huge too, the sewing machine. And this is where it gets kind of like a little cloudy to me.
Should we take a break?
Yeah, let's.
All right. We'll clear the clouds out and we'll be back right after this.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on. Hey friends, did you know that it's estimated that 85% of all customer service interactions are automated?
Yeah, it's true, and customers are the lifeblood of all business. So you probably don't want to put that responsibility in the hands of a robot. And that's why thousands of business owners call Ruby and hire them.
That's right. Ruby is the virtual receptionist company who screens, transfers, and takes messages 24/7, all while making your customers feel special.
Yep, you definitely don't want to hire a subpar front desk person. And with Ruby, they engage with your callers in a conversational way, just like your best employee would.
That's right. Finding someone who cares about your business as much as you do feels impossible at times, but the team at Ruby are experts in providing the best customer experience and turn every ring into a relationship.
Yep, this year can be your best year yet. Small, efficient changes can make a huge impact on your bottom line.
That's right, and Ruby answers all of your calls live from right here in the U.S. They'll take messages, answer questions, route calls, and much more. Visit ruby.com, or better yet, give them a call at 844-900-RUBY.
Okay, so the clouds are still over us, Chuck. We're about to part them.
Okay. I thought you were about to say, we're going to rain down some knowledge.
Oh, that's way better. we should retake this part.
Cloudy with a chance of knowledge.
So Walter Hunt invented the sewing machine, actually back in like 1833, a good almost 20 years before he invented the safety pin. And it had like a curved eye needle. It had the shuttle, just basically like the Singer sewing machine would later be. He invented it decades before anybody else was making these sewing machines. And so yet again, he's criticized for selling this idea without patenting it or patenting it and not doing anything with it. The story I saw was that he did come up with this idea. Mm-hmm. And his daughter pointed out that this machine would put a lot of impoverished women out of work.
Oh, interesting.
Who worked as sewers.
Uh-huh.
And he said, oh, well, I'm not going to do anything with this, and chose not to patent it and abandoned the idea so that it wouldn't even be out there for anybody else to pick up and work with.
Did he destroy his machine?
From what I saw, he didn't even make this prototype. I didn't see that anywhere else but in this article.
Yeah, because in our own article, it even specifically says his prototype was wooden.
Yeah.
Which would lead me to believe that unless someone just, you know, was willy-nilly making things up, that's got to be true, right?
I don't know. But this is what I'm saying. Things are clouded. We parted them some, and then they came back.
All right. But either way, the reason that you look at sewing machines today and don't see the word Hunt on them is just another sort of chink in his armor as a really brilliant guy who didn't see the big picture economically.
Or didn't want to put poor women out of work.
Right. Did I just overlook that?
Yes.
So you're saying it was noble.
That's how I'm taking it.
Well, I hope so. That would be a great, you know, I like that better than, I didn't think it was very good.
Right, exactly.
Maybe because it was made of wood.
If he did prototype it, I'll say yes, it was probably made of wood.
But the reason why it says Singer is because a man named Isaac Singer came along. There were actually two businessmen, Elias Howe and Isaac Singer, and they were in a battle with each other to control this patent in the 1850s. So what I couldn't tell is if they legit invented this thing or if they ripped off Hunt somehow.
Yeah, not they. It would have been Elias Howe. He was the one who held the patent.
Okay.
And Isaac Singer was just making machines based on the same designs, ignoring Howe's patent, because for some reason, somehow, he knew that that it was actually William Hunt who had invented the sewing machine decades before.
Wow.
So they went to court, and Isaac Singer said, Hunt, come in here and demonstrate that you did this, and you can get the patent, and then I'll ignore your patent, too. And the judge actually ruled that yes, William Hunt was indeed the inventor of the sewing machine, but it was too late to retroactively file a patent.
I wonder if there's enough here for a movie.
They made one about the guy who created the intermittent setting on the windshield wipers.
Yeah, and they made one, what's her face, Jennifer...
Aniston.
Lawrence.
Right.
Was in the movie about the inventor lady.
Oh, yeah, Joy Mangano.
Yeah. So maybe there's enough here. It would, like, call it So What?
No, you wouldn't.
And at the end of the trailer, it's spelled out, and you would hear the sewing machine, and it would sew it out, the title.
Maybe.
Maybe this should just be a trailer.
So What seems like a working title.
All right.
That, like, some producer comes in and changes and gets paid $1 billion for it.
Right. Then it would be called the Isaac Singer Follies.
So the other thing about Walter Hunt, he invented plenty of other stuff, too. A foot pedal alarm to warn people that a streetcar was coming.
For sure.
An antipodean walking device.
Yeah, and that I had no idea what that was, but apparently it's like the human fly, like suction cup shoes.
Right.
It's pretty amazing.
And today, well, not today, but say back in the 70s, if you hung out with punks, you probably saw a lot of safety pins, and you can thank Walter Hunt for that little fashion accessory, too.
Yeah. What was the deal? You would put a bunch of safety pins? I was not cool enough to do that stuff.
So there's a dispute over who came up with this. Supposedly Richard Hell, one of the original punk rockers, he accessorized a lot, and he accessorized with safety pins. So some people say, well, it was Richard Hell that came up with it. But apparently Johnny Rotten from the Sex Pistols has disputed that and said that it was actually out of necessity to keep the arse on your trousers from falling off.
Because they just wore beat-up clothes?
Yeah, because they were gutter punks.
Didn't people actually put safety pins through their face?
Yeah,
or am I making that up?
Some people did. Walter Hunt did not like that. His ghost was very upset by this, but no one could see that.
Wow. So from the safety pin to the sewing machine to Sid Vicious.
Yeah.
That's the logical order of operation.
It really is. American inventors. Ta-da! If you want to, you got anything else?
No, I just know that I want to go out and get some antipodean shoes.
I do too, man. You can just climb up a building and say, thank you, William Hunt. Let's see. If you want to get in touch with us, just go to our website, okay? StuffYouShouldKnow.com. It's got all of our social media links. And you can also send us an email to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.